understanding it in light of the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Now, we consider that, we would say the Old Testament. A lot of people, when they start going to church or what have you, they may not read the Old Testament much. That is a terrible thing, to not read and understand the Old Testament. And it seemed like the church world's kind of shifted or taken a shift from that. And maybe never really we'll say little sayings from it, but we don't read it, we don't study it out. So this excerpt from the Torah Treasure in page 146, and this goes what we've been talking about. Now, we've been in the fifth chapter of Galatians, and we was dealing with that verse 13, and that's where we'll start again tonight. I'll kind of get a spot where we can stop. We'll go a little bit, and then we'll be ready to go for in the morning. So it says this: most people are servants of their passions. Most people are servants of their passions, but the truly free person. Remember, we're talking about liberty. We've been talking about liberty. And Paul uses an anchor statement. He says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That's an anchor. Because he knew that no sooner he said we're free, everybody would take that as we could do anything we want. We can go to church when we want. We can serve God however we want. We can do whatever we want. But a person who really, in their heart, desires to spend eternity in the kingdom of God, you can't do whatever you want. There's rules and there's regulations and there's systems that are set up in the scripture that tells us what to do. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect in when you're doing those things now. But we should strive for that position. We should do everything in our power, especially once we come to know the truth. We should do that. How many know that it's true? This is a true statement. Thou shalt not commit murder. Is that a true statement? So we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go and commit murder, and then Christ comes along and says, I tell you, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit murder. But I tell you, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've killed him already. See, that's the difference. That's the difference of understanding the spirit of Torah, the spirit of the first five books or the law of God. Understanding that. Now, tonight I'm going to get into the subject on what it means to walk in the Spirit. Because there's a big difference between having the Spirit come on you and walking in the Spirit. So we're going to look at the difference between manifestation and walking in the Spirit. And so there are a lot of people who manifest the Spirit of God, and maybe at one time they were fine. They did right. But after a while, when you don't walk in the Spirit, that manifestation can get clouded and you won't even realize that you've switched spirits. And I find that's happened a lot, especially looking at those who profess to be prophets and apostles and all that stuff. So I want you to understand this excerpt. Let me go ahead and read it, finish it. It says, most people are servants of their passions. But a truly free person is one who can control his desires. A truly free person is one who can control his desires. When the sage is taught, only one involved in Torah is truly free. When we understand the principles of God, we're free. Now watch this. They meant to say that only Torah allows one to free himself from the shackles of desire and truly exercise free choice. Because once you know that, then you start realizing that our Heavenly Father is going to be displeased with me. So I don't want to do that. And so you start exercising that, and before you know it, you can control your desires. And that's important, valuable to understand. Without Torah, one is not free at all. He is a slave, controlled by a master foreign to his better instinct. Now watch this. While intellectually he might have correct ideas of how to live, ultimately his master, which is his passion. How many see that? His passion. His passion. And that's important. Will force him to act otherwise. This is incredible stuff. And this is just a treasure out of the Torah that was written long ago of wise people who understood these values and understood what we was up against. And let me tell you, ultimately, Yeshua understood that. He understood what we would be up against. So he explains, what does it mean to be at liberty and understand that? So it's valuable that we see that and we understand that. Now, I would like to, let's go back to, and look at these couple verses here. Psalms 31, verse 1. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says, in thee, O Yahweh, do I put my trust. In thee, O Yahweh, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Now, it's a reference to understanding. Now, let me just explain this. For the folks that maybe they've never heard this before. So I want to make sure they understand. Torah is the first five books of the Bible. That's the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. That's five books. That's the Torah. The Tanakh is the rest of the writings. That would go on all the rest of them. That's the prophets. That's the Psalms. All of those things. We got minor prophets and major prophets. Major prophet would be Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They're major prophets. Minor prophets, Obadiah, Micah. Those are guys that didn't write a lot, but what they wrote meant a lot. The minor prophets. Then we have the Psalms, the writings. So all of those things, when I use the term Tanakh, that's all of the Old Testament. We would say the Old Testament today. The Old Testament was not a term scripture you find in scripture. That was when the Bible was written. They had to describe it some kind of way. And they used the word Old Testament. That's how they described it. They didn't get that out of the scripture. It was just when they wrote it, they said, well, this is the old, this is the new. Okay, very important to understand. So when I make these references, I'm speaking of Torah. I'm speaking of the five books of the Bible. When you read those things, you'll start learning these things. Now, I'm reading from the Psalms here. This is the writings. Most of this was wrote from David, but not all of it. Moses wrote some of these things. But the Psalms, he said, deliver me in thy what? Thy righteousness. Remember that. He speaks. Now, the next verse, in Psalm 71, verse 16, I will go in the strength of my sovereign Yahweh. And that word Yahweh would be Lord in the scripture, L-O-R-D. It would be all caps. All of them would be caps. The difference with saying Yahweh is that's the name of God. They didn't want to say the name. Afraid they would say it wrong. So they said nothing. They said Lord. That's a title. I mean, you know, Lord is a title. You go to a doctor, you call him doctor. I had a doctor today. I took out today. He's a doctor. Well, he's a doctor, but his name is not, that's a title, but he has a name. I mean, understand that. His sons never called him doctor all day because he had a name. No different than we shouldn't call God by his title. We should call him by his name. And so that's important. Very, very important. Now, Isaiah 54, verse 14, one of the major prophets says, in righteousness shall thou be established. In righteousness. And we understand that the Torah is righteous. It's spiritual. It's good. All of those things apply to it. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Very important. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. You look up here and you see this valuable lesson here. I'll read to you. It says, speak not thou in thine heart after that Yahweh thy Elohim had cast them out from before thee. For saying, for my righteousness Yahweh have brought me to possess this land. So he's given a warning. Don't say, for my righteousness, Yahweh gave me to possess the land. Yahweh have brought me into a possession to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, Yahweh did drive them out from before thee. Now watch this, verse 5. Not for thy righteousness, remember that? Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart. What does man always constantly goes back to? His passions. Remember the Torah excerpts, his passions. But if we understand how to be a free person or walk in liberty or walk by the Spirit, we start understanding how that the Torah is written for our benefit, not to hurt us. Yet, the church says, stay away from that. This is what most of the church, as a whole, if we look at it as a whole, church, we're part of the church, whatever, doesn't matter your denomination, your cultural background, is you're part of the church, the entire church. Well, for the most part, we stayed away from the Old Testament. We said we're a New Testament church. And that's it's amazing to me how the enemy, he turned the very thing that can bring liberty to us against us and made it where it was almost taboo to go and do it. Because that's old. Hence the name. It's old. It's better to have the new. But we'll show you in a little bit why, how dangerous that is. It says, not for righteousness, for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. And he tells us what? But for the wickedness of these nations, Yahweh had Elohim did drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he could perform what he promised. That's why he did it. And so these are important principles. So let's get back to Galatians 5, verse 13, and we'll start tonight. So that was the tail end of where I stopped on Sunday, and I wanted to finish that up so you can see. I thought I could get it in, but I think I messed them up on their tape, but I was trying to get it finished as quickly as I could. So hopefully we got it done. Now, Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, notice he continues to use that term, brethren. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to a Gentile church in Galatia. A Gentile church. They're not Jews. They're Gentiles. They came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They understood that term. They understood that what he was saying to them. But then the Jews came later on, the Pharisees, and said, you must be circumcised in order to be saved. Paul said, not so. You don't need to be circumcised. So he's speaking to this church because they soon left that teaching. He said, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Notice that word, liberty. You have been called into liberty. Very important. You have been called into liberty. Then he gives the anchor statement, meaning he knows when you read this, you can quickly go off some and take his words and make stuff out of them. So he says this, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Then he brings us back to Torah. What does he say? But by love serve one another. Love. The Torah is a book of love. When you look at it and you understand it, it's amazing the wonderful things in there that you see done in that. So these are valuable principles that we have to understand and we have to grab hold to. Now I'm going to take you to a bigger anchor statement in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. We want to look at this because I think it'll help us understand some principles here that'll really unfold this. Now, I want to just give you a warning here concerning this. This event This writing, most people think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He probably did. We don't have that guaranteed, but most people think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. It tends to go that way simply because it's the writings are the same. Now, I want you to notice what he says in this huge anchor statement. He says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, after, not before, but after, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now notice this, and we're in the book of Hebrews here, so I want you to remember that. Very important. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful look of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. And he goes on and he says something I think is important for us to understand here and to grab hold to. That he that despised, notice this, Moses' law. How many has ever heard of Moses' law? Well, just because it's got a title, that's a title, it's called Moses' law, meaning that's the one God gave it to Moses. It doesn't mean that Moses sat down one day and he came up with a bunch of rules. So it's a title. It's Moses' law. But the church says we don't go under the law of Moses. Well, that means you don't go under the law of God. Because the law of Moses is the law of God. It's not his, but he was the one, the leader. He was the one at that time, the prophet, that God used to lead this great people. Took them out of bondage. They were in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt. That's a lot of time for a lot of stuff to get on you. And it's not easy to get stuff off of you. How many understand that? Let me give you a case in point. You can be growing up in church all your life, and then you go out and you're going to see the world, whatever. That's what I did. I went out and see the world. Well, that little bit of time, not 400 years for sure, right? But a little bit of time, just a little bit. Maybe my teenage years, you get stuff on you, you can't hardly get off. Now notice that we got a promise. He says, once you come to the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. He's trying to get us to understand, once you come to know, and this is the problem I find people have. They don't know the knowledge of the truth is to fall in love with the Torah. That's the problem. They don't realize that to understand God and know God's ways and his likes and dislikes, you got to fully understand what it means to have this liberty. And this is what he's trying to address here. He said, he that despised the law of Moses died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Can you imagine that? If you despise the law of Moses, now I want you to understand, the law of Moses is the law of God. I'm going to give you a scripture in just a little bit on that. Verse 29, how much sore punishment suppose ye that he through that he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and had despised and had despite or insulted the Spirit of grace. Notice that, the Spirit of grace. Now here's the thing that the church today, I'm talking about today's church, has come to realize. They have grabbed hold to with both hands the Spirit of grace and says, well, grace is going to help me. Well, you got to be careful how much you call on grace. Because you remember, he said, after you come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, if you're constantly rejecting the knowledge of the truth, which is the Torah, the commandments of God, you never come to them because the enemy's got you believing there's something different. And I'm going to show you the difference between what it means to be have the manifestation of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit between tonight and tomorrow. You are going to understand the difference on what that means. And we'll see it clearly in the text because God wants us to see it. How many understand that? Now, Nehemiah 8:8, I told you a while ago, I'd give you a verse of scripture. Let me read it to you. So they read in the book of the law of Elohim, the law of God. They read in the book of the law of God. How many see that? They read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So the law of Moses is the law of God. That's the book they were reading. It's just called that. It was given because it was given to Moses. And so that term kind of stayed throughout Scripture. So I hope that you understood that part. Now back to Galatians 5. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. How much of the law? All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Now, if I tell you all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, the next statement that I make is something you need to pay attention to, right? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. That's pretty powerful. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. This is Paul's word to the church in Galatia, a Gentile church. He's a Pharisee. Remember, Paul's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's brilliant. He's educated. Yet he understands that he had an encounter with God. On the road to Damascus, he saw Yeshua himself. He was an eyewitness of this account. His life changed. Now he's preaching the gospel. He writes two-thirds of the New Testament. He's just brilliant what he does. It's absolutely incredible. And he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you, there's a lot you can learn about loving your neighbor. A lot you can learn. It teaches you a lot of things. If you're a Torah keeper, you're going to understand that rather than your neighbor getting under your skin, and that could be your immediate neighbor, or it can be a neighbor that you just meet. If you just meet a person, that could be a neighbor of yours. Then you understand if you're a Torah keeper, if you're keeping that, no matter what's said or done, you love that neighbor. Now watch this. He goes on because he don't leave us hanging. He says, but if ye bite and devour one another. Notice that. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. It's learning how to get along. That's what it means when you start walking in the Spirit and you start understanding this liberty. You start understanding how to get along with people. How do we get along? How do we get through whatever it is that we're faced with? And so he points out some things that I think is important. And so I want to share this with you as it goes through this. There are two roads set before you in your life. Two roads. The road of life and the road of death. These are simple principles. Very simple. And as I was going through this, I saw this principle and I said, God, these are simple principles. You may have heard them before, but they need to be repeated often. There's two roads. And this is what he's saying to us. You can choose to keep the Torah. You can choose to understand the things of God. Or you can leave from that. But there's not four roads. There's two roads. One is life and the other is death. In Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, and Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Tree of life, And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Think about that. There's two roads that's set before every person. Every person that's ever been born. There are two roads set before us. We come to these roads and we got to decide. We got to decide, what are we going to do? And everybody comes to those roads at different times in their life. You come to those roads, maybe you were, say you were brought up in church. All your life, that's all you knew. You knew that you were going, Sunday you were going to church from a little one. And you know, you say, well, that road is chosen for me. It's not chosen for you. At that time, yeah, you're going because mama says you're going, daddy says you're going, you're going. But in life, mark my words, in life, mom and dad is not going to be the enforcement. You're going to decide, what road am I going to take? What path am I going to go down? What's going to be my decision? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says this in verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far from thee. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Verse 14, but the word is very nigh thee. It's in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do them. Verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day. I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Two roads. There's two roads in life. I've set before you this day. And I wonder in my life, and you wonder in your life. You look back in your life and you think about it. When was this road? When did I feel like for this is it? This is my time. I feel like for the first time in my life, I'm standing at a crossroad. And I got to decide, which one do I want? Remember Adam and Eve? They're in the garden. They're perfect. There's nothing wrong with them. They're absolutely perfect. As a matter of fact, when the one thing God said, he said, it's not good that man be alone. So what did he do? He made him a helper. Somebody suitable for him. Now they're perfect. He's got somebody. She's got somebody. God's there every evening with them, in the morning, in the evening. They're perfect. But before them, both of them, in their perfect state, what did God, to be a righteous God, to be a good God, he has to set before us life and death. He sets before us. It's our choice. You know why? If he wanted robots, that's what he'd have made. But he didn't make robots. He didn't make people, you wind them up, and you just set them and they walk along, do exactly what you want them to do. He didn't do that. He gave everybody the right to choose. And then you don't realize how much of a love that is. That's an amazing love. Because God, this is what he's banking. He says, I made them. And if they'll follow my law, if they'll do what's right, they'll see how incredible it is and how much I really love them. And even after they decided to come to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they picked the wrong road to travel. And they sinned against God. They knew they were naked. All of those things, I want you to understand this valuable lesson. He still made a way for them where it didn't appear that there would be any hope, any help for them. He made a way. That was his master plan. That he would send his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Remember, the road they got on was the road that would bring death. It would make them perish. But he said, I'm going to get you. After the decision, here's the grace of God. This is the incredible grace of God. After you made the decision to go on the wrong road, he gives you a way off of that road. How incredible is that? It's absolutely amazing. when you see it. But he said, I set before you life and death. Life and good and death and evil. Two roads. Then he tells, in that I commanded thee this day to love Yahweh thou Elohim and walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And Yahweh thy Elohim shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, if thine heart turn away, you remember what the treasures in the Torah said? He said, after you get going, what's the desire, the passion? We'll go right back to our own passion, our own desires. And so what he's trying to do, he's trying to show us in the Torah that you can change your desires. You can change that. You don't have to do that. He said, but if thine heart turn away, that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other mighty ones, other gods, and serve them. What did he say in verse 18? I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. Well, we've heard that before. At the beginning. At the beginning. Satan comes to Eve and says, you won't really die. She just got finished telling him, God said, if we eat from this tree, we shall surely die. And Satan says, you won't really die. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. Huh? Imagine that. You'll be as God. I'll be like God. Why was Satan cast out? Because I'll build my kingdom above your kingdom. He desired God's position. That's what he wanted. And then he tries to make man think you can have God's spot. You'll be as God. You can have his spot. And you know what, man? We desire. We want it. We always want it big. And that's what the enemy does. He paints the picture really big. When you're at that road and you're about to decide, you know, you look on a tree, the life, and it's not a whole bunch there. And this road looks kind of boring. It's a boring road. It's kind of straight. It's narrow. But this road is broad. And look how many people's on it. And if it's all that bad, why are there so many people on it? Look at all the lights and the fun. So much fun on this road. He don't show you behind the scenes. It's on you one car accident away. Do you understand that? Just one accident away from your life being snuffed out. Then you got to give account for what you did. That's how the enemy tricks people. You can be like God. You don't have to worry about anything. Once you're like him, you take his spot, you can make your own rules. You can do whatever you want. And they picked the wrong road, and immediately there was this disconnect. The glory of God left them, and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Man can't fix his problems. I don't care. You can get up and be your best day. I mean the best day of your life. You can't fix your problems. And you won't find anything in this life that's going to make you feel like God can make you feel. It's not going to happen. Because we're made in his image and his likeness. And we demand to have a God over us. We're made that way. To have a supreme almighty. That's why we ought to worship him. We ought to love to worship the Almighty, give him praise and honor and glory that he deserves. Amen? How many love him? I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. That's what I said before you. Here's the road. It's your choice. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. That is a very powerful statement there. Choose life that you and your seed shall live. The choice you make affects people that come up behind you. Makes a difference. It makes a big difference. That's why when we were growing up, we always wanted to be like the older sibling. We wanted to do what they were doing, go do what they, have the fun they were having. Because they made it, they were good. Just because they were good don't guarantee you're going to be good. You have no idea what's out there with the enemy, and he's just trying to snuff out life. That's all he wants, your life to end. But how many thank God? He said, here's the part I love about it. He said, I set before your life. I'm showing you that's the road. This is the road. Get on this road. This road right here. If you're going down the highway and you're cruising down the highway and you're doing whatever, 65 miles an hour, and a big old neon sign lights up and says, bridges out. You don't speed up. You said, what'd that sign say? They said, bridges out. Then the next, you went down another mile and it said, bridges out. And it's blinking. It's just flashing, bridges out. Then you get up there and you see all kind of flashing lights and barricades. You don't gun it. You don't get on it. Do you? No, you start slowing down. And all of a sudden you see this sign that says detour. Why? Because the bridge is out. This is sort of what this is telling you. He said, listen, this road, the bridge is out. It's out. You're not going to make it. You think you can make it, but you can't make it. You can get it to 100. I mean, floor it. I'm going to jump it. You know how many people has done that? We're going to jump it, man. It's all about having fun. We're going to have a good time tonight. Listen, there's been times, some of my most terrible things is when I get a call in the middle of the night saying, Pastor, can you come? Car's upside down. This has happened. This one's dead. This one's run over by a car. I've seen body bags opened up and I'm looking at mangled bodies. I'm like, God, how many messages, how many times we got to hear it? I put before you two roads. And it's only by the grace of God that we weren't in one of them bags. Thank you, Father, that I'm here. It's only by His grace. And He wants to tell us. He's telling us. Time is short. It's time for us to really got to kick it in gear. It's time to give God the praise. Matthew 7, verse 13 says this. Let me just simplify this for you. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. This is what He says. Matthew 7. I read this last week to you. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Leads to what? Destruction. How many understand what destruction means? It's like you can tell somebody it leads to destruction and we just keep going. Think about it. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, this is so important, valuable to understand. And many there be which go thereat. Many. Are you part of the many? I don't want to be part of the many. Remember that. It doesn't matter. There's no qualification because we're sitting here. There's no qualification because I'm the preacher. What qualification that is? Am I walking in the Spirit? Am I walking in the Spirit? To walk in the Spirit is not a manifestation of the Spirit, because a manifestation can come on you. Now, we grew up, you know, years ago, when we grew up in Pentecostal movements, people would get the Spirit on them. And they might prophesy, they might speak in a tongue. And people say, man, they doing good. That's a difference. There's a difference between walking in the Spirit and a manifestation of a gift. Because you can have the gift come on you and not walk in the Spirit and wind up on the wrong road. And I've seen it. Oh, that's the things I question all the time. I'm questioning, I'm like, God, why is this? How many's ever been going along in life and you've been serving God for a long time and you run into a spot and you're having a difficult time? And you know it's difficult, and you know you feel ucky on the inside. You just feel like disturbed on the inside. And you're working through it, and you find it in the scripture, and you push through it. That's walking in the spirit. But a person who's used to a manifestation, they're in and they're out. They're up and they're down. They can't make their mind up if they even want to serve God. And today, many of them have chosen the road of destruction. It's crazy. It leads to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Many. So, yes, in life, you look out there. It looks like, you know, the bands are doing good. The lights, the TV, and all of this stuff's all great. They're all winning. And we boring. You know, we go to church, sing a song for 20 minutes. I mean, after a while, how many hallelujahs can you sing? Right? That's how we think. You say, well, I just want to go out and I want to go out. They're doing it better out there. Be careful. Be careful. Because while you're singing, your hallelujah belongs to him. That's the one he's going to protect. That's the one he's going to watch over. That's the one that he's looking for. And he says, listen, because straight is the gate. Two roads. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way. That word narrow means tribulation. Tribulation is the way. Which leadeth unto what? Life. How many see these two roads? One's destruction, the other one's life. How many want life? Want life. I want life. And you can have life. Because the amazing thing that God did for us all. Lead it to life, and few there be that find it. Few there be. It's amazing to me how that only a few overall in this whole world is going to find it. Are you one of them? Are you one of them that's going to find it, is going to hang in there, is not going to quit, is going to say, Lord, I want what you want for me? As you think about this, this is a valuable lesson for us tonight. It's a valuable lesson. Verse 16 is where I'm going to start in the morning, this verse right here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to show you in the morning, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does that look like? How can I do it? Is this for everybody? Absolutely, it's for you. Absolutely, it's for us. God wants us to have this hope. But tonight, I wanted to show you that every one of us, we come to these places in our life. We come to these decisions. We come to spots in our life where there's two roads. And we got to decide which one we're going to travel. Which one will it be? Are we going to travel the road of destruction? May seem like right now it's not so bad. But I'm sure that every one of us standing here at some point in our life, we stood by and watched somebody that we looked at them. They were gone. They were finished. And we wondered, where are they? What's their hope? Are they going to rise again? In the end, are they going to rise again? Will you rise again? You leave, you have no answers. You can only wonder. We don't know. But he's telling us over and over and over again, choose life. I'm reminded of this story. The last time I preached on this was years ago. We weren't in this building. We was in the front building, an older building. And I remember being in that service, sort of like tonight. It wasn't a whole lot of people there. It was in this service, and I remember speaking that message. And I remember the people that were there. And I remember there were people that responded. Some didn't respond. My job is to tell you. It's to tell you. And it is to live my life that I'm living after this. I don't want to use liberty, because I have liberty. And that's what he's trying to tell. See, because they told the people like in Galatia, listen, you got liberty. You got liberty. You're free. We're of the free. We're of the promised seed. Remember the allegory of Isaac and Ishmael, Sarah and Hagar. He said, this is an allegory. One genders to bondage and the other's free. And he said, listen, don't use liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Don't say, well, I'm free. I can kind of do what I want. And the flesh wants that. The flesh constantly, what happens? The person's only free. The true person who really experiences freedom is when they understand the Torah. They understand the things of God, the scripture. And they're living that out. We find out that God doesn't like this. So I don't want to do it. And when you don't do it, it makes you get happy, and God's happy, and everybody around you is happy. Think about that. Because what does it produce? It produces love. That's what it does. When you read it, it produces love in you. You love the person that normally, if that person did something to you, or maybe they posted something about you, tweeted something bad, and then you get involved in that, and then it becomes where you're really involved in it. You get sucked right in. You get pulled off the one road onto the other road, and you get in this match, and they just don't know me. I'll show them. The Torah teaches different. You know what Torah says? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Listen, when somebody can do something that controls how you conduct yourself, you are out of control. Don't let anybody do that. Who we submit to? We submit ourselves unto the Lord. We submit to the Lord. That's what he says. He says, humble yourself. You submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the devil. Resist his temptations. The way he comes and he twists it around. You resist that. And what does he do? He flees from you. He knows that. You remember last week, as I was reading Matthew 7, it continues, goes on, and talks about how you can build on sand or you can build on a rock. You dig down. And sand builders, they come a dime a dozen, they're all over the place. Go to church. You know, we look the part. It's all nice. I'm just a part of that church. And we identify that away. I go to this church. I'm this, I'm that, and we're good. That's the sand builder. You can be part of Faith Temple. You can be part of the Baptist church, the Pentecostal church, whatever church. Whatever church you identify with, you can be a part of it. Sand builders. A rock builder doesn't identify with church. They identify with God in their heart. They dig down until they find for themselves who they are in Christ. They dig down. They find out that I've been reading the scripture myself, not letting somebody read it for me. Listen, my job here was only to pique your interest, not to tell you how to live, not to decide what road you're going to go on. That's not my job. My job is to pique your interest, for you to make a decision for yourself, for you to dig, get the Bible, and you start reading it. Go to Genesis. Don't start in Matthew. Who reads a book in the middle first? Who does that? Nobody goes and buys a book and starts in the middle. But I like John. Well, you're going to get there. Before you read what John said, you better know what Genesis says. Well, that Leviticus thing, I just can't get over all that stuff. All these laws and food laws and all that. But let me tell you, it's the thing God likes and dislikes. It's what he says. You got to get through those things. You got to find out, why did he do this? You're asking questions. You're finding out. You're investigating. Church, as we've known it, is over. We have come full circle. People's got to decide for themselves what road you're going to travel in your life. Short. It's a very short span that we have. Even if everybody in this room lives to 100, that's short when you compare it to eternity. Very short. Think about that. Very short life. What are we prepping for? 1,000 years with the Lord. Can you imagine that? The millennial reign, when Christ, the trumpet sounds and Christ returns, the dead raise. Can you imagine what day that's going to be? Dead raise? Then which are alive and remain are caught up to meet him in the air? Think about that. We're about to celebrate Yom Teruah, the blowing of the trumpet. The trumpet sounds. Oh, I wonder how loud that trumpet's going to be when the dead raise because of it. And the Lord himself, Christ himself, comes in his glory, just his appearing, will destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet. Can you imagine that? No fight. We're fighting a fight right now. That's why Paul said this. He said, I fought a good fight. Because that's what it is. You might not want to face that reality, but you're in a fight for your life. Every person in here, you are fighting for your life. You're fighting for a spot, a place, a position. You're fighting. Some people give up and they just say, well, we'll see. Really? Think about that. Think about it. You're fighting for your life. I want to tell you, I think we ought to put up a better fight than we put up. We ought to put up a better fight. Walking in the Spirit in the morning, I'm going to talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit. Because if you know how to walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it war. There's a war going on. It's constant war. It's warring. It's fighting. There's a fight happening. And you got to fight. So you go on a long life and you slip up. And you make a mistake. You fight. You get back up and say, you know what, Lord? I'm sorry for that. That was bad on my part. Bad. Real bad. I can't believe I did that. But I'm going to fight because life means something to me. Rock. Dig down. Build your house on a rock. Don't be a sand builder. Just kind of put it up. Throw it up real quick. It looks like you're doing good. It's nice. You got beautiful siding. But the structure, the foundation, it's shaky. It's real shaky. And I'm just wondering how many people get themselves up on a Sunday, get themselves ready, and go, and they got a shaky foundation. They sit in the church, and they hear the message, and they've been doing it for years, and they haven't dug down one, not one shovel did they dig down to try to investigate and find out, and what am I believing here? It's really sad. It really is. And let me tell you something. This got to mean something to you. It's really got to mean something to you. And that's what he's teaching. He's teaching the Galatians. He said, what you're talking about, they're talking about you got to be circumcised. He said, I'm telling you, this has got to mean something to you. Don't use liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love, he said, serve one another. You know how you start serving one another by love? You speak the truth. You tell somebody the truth. You don't tell them what they want to hear. You tell them, say, listen, I think you're on the wrong road. The signs have been flashing, the bridges out, and you're still going wide open. At some point, you're going to run into a problem here. My prayer tonight is that we've taken this time. As I was going over tonight, I said, Lord, if I can get through this two-road thing, and just prep us ready for the morning for when we talk about walking in the Spirit and what that means. I said, So you have to take what you heard tonight and bring it over tomorrow. because I'm going to continue this. It's really two parts to that, this whole portion of it. So my prayer is that you would do that in the morning. And that you'd come with an open mind. You say, you know what? I need to make some decisions here. How many thankful to be on the right road? How many remember being on the wrong road? Maybe you're on the wrong road tonight. You can change. It's not something you got to tell me. You don't have to tell your neighbor. You got to tell yourself. You got to say, life means something to me, and I'm going to put up a fight, better fight than just giving in. And let me tell you, it's easy to do that. Because sometimes you get burned out, and the enemy just exactly what he's waiting for you to do is to quit and give up. Go back. If you were a drinker, you'd go back to drinking. You just go back and do it. It's what it is. That's easy to do. Anybody can do that. I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to the handy pack up there, and I'm going to get me a six pack, and I'm going to be good. Really? Anybody can do that. But somebody who looks at life and says, you know what? It's what I decide is going to make a difference here. And I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And every time you fall is when the enemy says, you know, you're not going to make it. You're never going to make it. Look at you. You got to decide. See, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. You got to decide. You're walking in the Torah. You're walking in the things of God, the Scripture. You understand that. It becomes a part of you. And my prayer tomorrow is that we get to get on this. I'm not sure how much we'll get done, but I'm going to talk about that in the morning. So how many thank God you were here tonight? We're glad you were here too. Well, let's stand together. If anybody here needs prayer.